And the rest of us, let's get our Bibles out and let's go to the book of Romans this morning. I felt this on my heart yesterday and feel like the Lord wants to speak to somebody's heart here this morning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. Again, it's good to see all of you here today in the house of the Lord. Romans 10 and verse 15. And it says this, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Everybody said the gospel of peace. Amen. Everybody said glad tidings. Everybody said good things. Amen. This gospel that we preach today is exciting. Amen. It's exactly what everybody needs. It's what our world needs today. Amen. Is this glorious gospel, and it's more than just salvation. It brings peace into your heart. I want to talk about peace this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for truth today. Ask you to anoint the word of God, speak to our hearts. We give you honor, praise, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise God. You know, when we look at the gospel as a message for the salvation of the world, we've got to look at the things that this gospel supplies to us. And I believe tonight that when God saved us, he gave us the very best that he could ever give us. I believe that this salvation will save us to the uttermost, meaning that the very basic needs of our life will be met, that everything that we're searching for in life, everything that our town needs, everything our society needs, everything our world needs, can be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to look at it here this morning because this gospel, whether it is within or without, we need God in our lives. We need God on the inside. We need God on the outside. And our world is defined in the scripture, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. And so in this world, we have two things, lust and pride, basically. If you want to boil it down to its essence, lust says, I want, and pride says, I deserve. Amen. And that's my take on it here this morning. You may have a different one. But if you look at the problems of our world and our society, and in many, many cases in individuals' hearts, we find that the world is embedded in them, and we find that when all we say is, I want, we're never going to be happy, because if you do get what you want, then you're going to want something else. And when you get that, then you're going to want something else. But when lust hath conceived, the Bible says, and when lust conceives, it may not be according to reality in life. Amen. And so, consequently, we have a lot of disappointed people. We have a lot of people that don't have peace in their life. And that's why our world is so unsettled. Amen. It is so unsettled because of the atheist communist countries in our world. And if you think about it here this morning, Russia, China, North Korea, all those countries are atheist communist countries. They don't believe in God, and so without God, there is no opportunity for peace. Amen. But without God, there is plenty of opportunity for lust and pride to proliferate and to grow and to affect their societies and not only their countries, but the world. We're literally facing the world today when we talk about these things. But there is an answer today. Amen. And I need to ask you the question this morning, do you have peace in your heart today? I'm not talking about having the things that you want. I'm not talking about having the possessions that you would like to have in your life. I'm asking you this morning, do you have peace in your heart? Amen. Do you need peace more than anything? Because where there is no peace, you're going to find lust and pride somewhere, and you're going to find those desires of the flesh. Amen. And there is an answer for this morning. There is a place where you can have peace in your heart no matter what's going on around you. I'm not talking about a jovial cut up all the time. No, there are trials and tribulations, and there are difficulties that all of us are going to face in life. That's the essence of this world. We were made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Amen. I have hope this morning, and that hope gives me peace. Praise God. I may not have everything I want this morning. I may not have everything that I feel like I deserve, but I do have something here today to give to you, and that is Jesus Christ and the peace of God that comes in Him. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace this morning, and a prince is someone that rules over a principality or a kingdom, and he rules over the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Amen. And the way we enter into that kingdom is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and the power of this world when he died on the cross. And this morning, the cross was so much more than a historical event. Amen. It was the completion of the answer that the world is looking for, and that is, where can I find peace? Amen. And I believe today that if we had a revival of the gospel, if we had a revival in our world of the truth of the Word of God, there would be peace that would come to this world. But we know that that's not going to happen. We know that there will be trials and tribulations. And Jesus said there would be a tribulation that would come upon the world that the world has never seen and it will never see again. And it has not happened yet, but it is building right before our very eyes. Praise the Lord. And so, if we are going to have peace in our life, then there's only one way to really have peace. We've got to get rid of those things that haunt us and hinder us from our past. Somebody said amen. Amen. Y'all help me here this morning. I want to touch somebody here today with the Word of God. We've got to annihilate the things of the past. You know, there are a lot of things in the past that will haunt us. And most of all, the things that haunt us are the things that we have failed at. Come on, somebody, help me here this morning. You know I'm telling the truth here today. It is those things in the past that we wished we hadn't have done. It is the things in the past that we exemplified in our spirit and all of that we wished we could get rid of. Well, I've got good news for you today. You can get rid of the past. And that's the first thing that the gospel deals with is the past, our personal past, our sinful past, the things that we have done that were not right with God, that always bring a disturbed spirit into our heart. Amen. And so the gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the essence of the gospel. Paul said that that's what the gospel is. He died, he was buried, and then he rose again. Romans brings it down to us and helps us to understand that we participate in the gospel through the message of salvation given to us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the question may be arising here this morning, what should I do? What shall I do with my life? What shall I do with the past? And Peter said the very first thing to do is to repent. Amen. And so the Romans chapter 6, I read from Romans chapter 10 this morning, but Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn with me today. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, or hereafter we should not serve sin. And so Jesus died, and because he died, you and I must die with him. We must be crucified with him. That crucifixion is basically where folks accept the Lord as their personal Savior, and maybe that's not even a close understanding of what repentance is. But the word repent in the Greek here in Romans is the word metanoeo, and it means to do an about face, to turn around and go the other way. And I believe that even as we serve God and as we go through life, we need to have a repentant attitude about us. Because there is no one that has started out with God that has been perfectly sinless since they came to God. Don't act so holy this morning, I know, because we're all flesh here this morning. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so there is a need to go back and to be crucified again. And what is crucified? What is crucified is our plans. What is crucified is our desires. What is crucified are the things that we have done in the past that are not of God, that are sinful, and we need to repent, and we need to ask God for forgiveness. This is not a one-time situation, but it is a lifetime of attitude, of humility as we walk before God. The reason we must have a repentant life is because we've got to clear out the past. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We got to get it all behind us, and we've got to get it taken care of. The Bible says that the thief runs when nobody's even chasing him, and the thief would be a whole lot better off if he just admitted and gave back what he had stolen. Amen. Then he could rest at night. Then he could walk down the street and greet anyone and not worry about looking them in the eye and feeling bad about themselves. Amen. And even more so when we come to the house of God. I've come to understand over the years that there are many that cannot worship God because there are things in their life that they just haven't taken care of. Some things that they've really not repented of. But when you repent and you turn yourself away from sin, if this is sin and the world and the flesh, we're walking away from God. God's over here. We're walking away from God. And the more we sin and the more we walk away from God, the darker it gets. But when we turn and we repent, God may be a long ways away, and it may just be a little bitty glimmer of light. When you turn yourself and you begin to walk in that direction, every step that you take, the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. That's why it is essential that we repent and we turn ourselves from our old ways. Well, praise God. Are y'all with me here this morning? I know I preached this before, but I feel it for this service here this morning. And then when we repent, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so we die in repentance, and then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says we are buried with him by baptism. Amen. And so the old man dies in repentance, but we don't want him hanging around. We've got to bury him. We've got to have those old things buried. They've got to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Immersed and taken away in this old watery grave of baptism. We are baptized, and we are baptized with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed and buried. Amen. And there is a thrill, there is a spiritual experience in baptism that takes place. Peter said that it is for the remission of sins, or the blotting out, or the erasing of sins. You say, well, they're forgiven at repentance. No, repentance is where we turn ourselves. But they are remitted and they are washed away in baptism. That's Bible this morning. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. And so when they baptized in Jesus' name, it was for the remission of sin, because that's what Jesus commanded. There's only one name that can remit our sins, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Our sins cannot be remitted through titles of God. Amen. Our sins cannot be remitted by any other means but by the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and 12, praise God. And then when we die and we are buried, the past is taken care of. It's like Egypt or Israel coming out of Egypt and going through the Red Sea. When they came up out of the water, amen, all the Egyptians were destroyed and they didn't have to deal with Egypt anymore. Amen. Would it feel good this morning if you didn't have to deal with Egypt anymore? Would it feel good this morning if you didn't have to deal with those things that are haunting you and taking the peace out of your heart? I've got a feeling today that's what everybody is craving for. I look at the news about all the bombings and missile strikes and everything, and they go into these countries and they talk to the people that are on the street and they say, what do you think about that? And they said, all we want is peace. That's all we want. We're tired of being bombed out. We're tired of guns going off. We're tired of threats. We're tired of being afraid. We want peace. Amen. And it doesn't matter what they stand for or where they live. There is a longing in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl to have peace in their heart. Amen. The only way we can have that is we've got to get rid of the past. And when the past is wiped away by God, I'm telling you, we can rejoice in the future that God has for us. You can't take the past with you into the future. You've got to get rid of it. Amen. And there's only one way. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so let's look at that this morning. For whom he did foreknow. This is talking about the Lord. And the Lord foreknew us. In other words, he knew us before. He knew us before we knew ourselves. He knew us before anybody even knew us, before we were conceived in our mother. He knew us. He knew our name. Not only did he know us, but he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. Salvation was not predestined. That's a choice that you and I make. But the plan of God was for us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. That the Son, or that he, might be the firstborn among brothers. many brethren. Amen. And so when you get a hold of this morning, I feel like just hauling off and preaching here a little bit this morning. Amen. God foreknew us. He knew us before we were ever born. He knew our name. He knew where we were going to live. He knew everything. And he predestined, amen, a plan for us to come to the church, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to give our lives to him and get rid of the old and take on a brand new meaning and purpose for our lives. Praise God. And so that predestination was not a predestined salvation, as some teach, that you are predestined to be saved, and it doesn't matter what you do, God has already predestined it. God predestined us to be like Jesus. That's what the predestination was all about. Amen. And then comes the free will of you and I. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, and he predestined us to be like his son, them he also called. Amen. But doesn't the scripture say, many are called, but few are chosen? But there is a call. There has to be a call. The very reason that you're sitting here this morning, the reason I'm even here this morning, is because there was a day, and I feel that call here this morning, a call to serve God, a call to live for God, a call to do the will of God in your life. Amen. He made that call. For me, it was many years ago. For others, it wasn't quite so far back. But it really doesn't matter. The call was predestined by God. And he reached out to you and called. Amen. And those whom he called, them he also justified. Amen. There's salvation right there. Justification. Amen. He justified just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. He justified me. And that justification did not come against my will. It did not come because he chose it and I didn't get an opportunity to choose it. You get an opportunity today to choose what God you're going to serve. Amen. You get today to serve and to choose who you're going to serve in your life and what you're going to serve in your life. If we serve sin, we'll have a life void of peace. But if we serve God, we can have a life full of peace in your heart. Even if you don't have what you want and feel like what you deserve, we can have peace in our heart because I know everything's all right between me and God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And justification comes when we hear the preaching of the gospel and we come and we repent. Amen. For those of you that have already received the gospel, it may be another trip to the altar and find another place of repentance and being refilled again with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Whatever the case is this morning, if you've never known him, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the same for all of us. We've got to make a trip to the altar and find a place of genuine repentance. Amen. And then when somebody said, would you like to get baptized? We get to make the decision, yes or no. We made the decision and we said, yes, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I want the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. When we obey the gospel by faith, amen, and we do what the gospel tells us to do, then we come to a place of justification. Amen. That justification is just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. The slate is clean. Praise God. The pages are clean. You can leave here this morning. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. You can leave here this morning with your slate clean in the past. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can walk away here this morning justified and with a brand new purpose. Amen. A brand new day before you. Well, praise God. A new purpose for living. A new reason to get up in the morning. Well, praise the Lord. Justification. And then, oh, this really gets exciting. It really builds. He said, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And so what God specializes in doing is taking the sins of the past and washing them away, wiping that slate clean, and then filling us with the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the presence of God. Amen. And bringing us to a place of glorification. Them whom he justified, he also glorified. Are you talking about me? I can hear you say that right now. Yes, I'm talking about you this morning. Amen. It's important, though, that we do the repentance thing the right way. The scripture says that if a man repents of righteousness, amen, then everything that he has done in righteousness will not be counted for him. But it also says that if a man comes and repents of his wickedness, all of his wickedness will not be remembered either. And so we have a choice this morning of what we're going to repent of. I don't repent this morning that I'm in the house of God. I don't feel bad this morning that I have an opportunity to go to God in prayer. Amen. I don't repent of being excited about the Word of God. Amen. I don't repent about the thrill of having the Holy Ghost and walking in righteousness and truth and holiness. I don't repent of those things this morning. I'm excited about those things today. Amen. Some folks get excited about the things out in the world, but the world has a way of turning ugly against you. Amen. Sin has a way of turning ugly real quick, and it's not merciful at all. Amen. But this morning, there's mercy in this house. I said there's mercy in this house this morning. There's peace in this house today. There's forgiveness in this house today. Amen. Because God is in this house this morning, and we believe in the gospel of peace today. We believe in glad tidings. Amen. We believe in good things. Well, praise God. I'm preaching good things this morning. I'm preaching glad tidings this morning. Cheer up today. There's hope for you. Cheer up today. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Nothing can be against me if I'm with him. Where is he? I want to get to the altar and find him. Where is he? I need to find prayer, a place of prayer, and get a hold of my God this morning. Come on, let's give him a hand clap of praise today. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the essence of the gospel of peace this morning. Amen. It gives us all of these things. And it sets us free to have peace in our hearts. Amen. And you say, well, is it just a little bit of peace? I got a feeling today, and I've been praying about this in my heart as well. And when I go to God in prayer, I've been asking the Lord, Lord, would you show me what's wrong with me? I know that doesn't settle very good. Amen. I remember one time I was at a meeting. It was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was sitting with one of the men in the church that I pastored. I actually had won him to the Lord, and he would go with me every year to this conference. And this particular year, it was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and we were sitting eating breakfast in this nice hotel lobby. They had a breakfast bar, and we went in there. We were eating breakfast, and all of a sudden, out of the side door, this lady pushed a harp. It was a harp on wheels, and this harp stood about, I'm guessing it was probably about that tall. It was a pretty good-sized harp. And she sat down, and she started to play the most beautiful harp music I've ever heard. I've really not heard that much harp music in my life, but she began to play that harp, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this gentleman, he was a real estate agent, He was a firefighter. He had retired from the firefighting, had seen many traumatic experiences and rescues and different things that in his career. And all of a sudden, he began to weep. He just almost, it really was uncontrollable. And tears began to pour down his face. He was a very sober person. He didn't laugh a lot. He didn't smile a lot. And all of a sudden, emotion just swelled up in him, overcame him, and he began to weep uncontrollably. And I said, "Are you all right, Bob?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay." He got up and went to the bathroom. He was so embarrassed of himself. And he came back and sat down. I said, What's going on? What's wrong?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "When that lady began to play that harp, it reminded me of my childhood. It reminded me of all the troubles that I had as a child and how my dad treated me." He said, "My dad treated," I'm talking a man over 50 years old, and he's still dealing with things of how he grew up. And he said, my dad was so mean, and he treated me so badly. And he said, "I just can't seem to get over it in my heart." And I said, "Well, what you've got to do, Bob, is you've got to be honest with yourself. And you've got to open up your heart and let God speak to you about that thing that's in your heart that God can take out of there so you can have peace in your heart." And he looked at me and he said, "But it's so hard to be honest with oneself." And I didn't have anything else to say at that point. I just left it for the Lord to work on his heart and in his life. But folks, every one of us here this morning have instances just like that. We look back in life and the haunting memory comes back again and again. And that's one thing about us. We have a hard time with memories. We have a hard time getting rid of memories. One old Texas preacher said it with his Texas drawl. He said, "I figure a man's really well off if he's got a good forgetter." Amen. Well, how do you get a good forgetter? Where do you buy one of those and install into your brain? I don't know where that comes from. Amen. But we remember things. But I'm telling you today, there's one thing that can override the memories. There's one thing that can cancel out the effect of those memories. It may not take those memories away, but even, I believe, after time, after years, those can be subdued in a lot of ways, but there's one thing that can override those memories, and that is the knowledge of where you are today and where you stand in your life and who you really are. And the only way we can get to that place of comfort and peace about ourselves, well, praise the Lord. I feel a ministering spirit here this morning. There's only one way that we can feel good about our skin that we're living in this morning, and that's to know that everything is all right between me and the highest relationship in this life, and that's my relationship with God. And when I have that relationship right with God, then God can begin to work on those other areas of our life. And I can walk in peace. All the memory may come back. Amen. There may be what they call a flashback. But I'm telling you, you can go right back to the Word of God. And you can rebuke those thoughts and say, "If God be for me, who can be against me?" When your mind says everything is against you, you can say, "God is for me." Praise the Lord. Because God is for me, and the knowledge of the truth and the knowledge of my relationship with God will override, amen, that false thing that comes up in your mind, in my mind. Amen. You say, "Well, it's not false, it's true." Oh, let me just explain it a little bit further here this morning. I've got to try to help somebody here today. Amen. I'm telling you that when you were baptized in Jesus' name, everything in the past was washed away. That's in God's eyes. In God's eyes, the book is clean. Amen. What we've got to come to is the understanding that it needs to be that way in my eyes as well. Amen. I have to come to the knowledge of where God is and how God feels. It's not about how I feel, it's how about God feels. Oh, yes. Oh, when I was a kid, I would tell a lie. But you know what? I don't walk around today saying, oh, I told a lie when I was a child. I'm a bad person. I'm never going to do anything in my life. I failed here. I did this or I did that. Amen. It would really be foolish to hinder a whole life of productivity and blessings and all of that by dragging a ball and chain of the past behind me. Amen. But when I was baptized in His name, when I repented of my sins and was baptized in His name, all of that was cleared out. Praise God. And when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I became justified and glorified by God. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, I've sinned since I was baptized. Hey, join the crowd.
Right.
Oh, y'all look so holy this morning. I know that y'all, I'm preaching to a perfect church here this morning. But I'm telling you what, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. What if we sin? What does the Bible say about that? Is that a new ball and chain that we put behind us and we drag it along for the rest of our lives? And then another sin becomes another ball and chain and another one. And before you know it, we feel like we're a bound person again. And there's no joy and there's no peace. And there's nothing in your heart that's exciting about anything. Oh, God, help us today. All it takes, the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, who is faithful. Everybody said faithful. And just. Everybody said just. Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't have to get rebaptized again, or we'd be baptizing the whole church every week. I could just see it now. Preacher, call me. How was service today? Well, we baptized 50 this morning in Jesus' name. And then Sunday night, well, how did the service go? We baptized 50 more in Jesus' name. Wednesday night, you keep baptizing the same amount. How many do you run? We run about 50. Oh, I get it. I understand. Praise God. That's not how it works, folks. I'm telling you what, we have a God that will justify us, that will cleanse us, and wherever you're at this morning, if you've never been baptized in His name, or you have been baptized in His name, amen, He is the God who justifies, He is the God who glorifies, amen, and that's why the Bible says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Follow peace with all men. And we've got to start with ourselves. Well, I don't have peace because of this, or I don't have peace because of that. I don't have peace because of this. I'm not going to deal with that this morning, even though I've got notes here to deal with that. I don't feel to deal with that right now. Amen. But there is a place where you have to start when it comes to this issue of peace in your heart. Amen. It starts within you. Amen. What you have done. Forget about what others have done. Let's focus on ourselves. Amen. Let's look at ourselves. And when you look at yourself and you see what you've done to others, and you see what you've done to God, amen, what others have done to you, the magnitude of it diminishes quite a bit. I offended God. Well, somebody offended me. Amen. Did God forgive me? He forgave me because I offended Him. Amen. So I need to forgive those who have offended me as well. Amen. Because that's the right thing to do. But it's hard to forgive somebody else. Amen. When we can't forgive ourselves for the things that we have done. Well, praise the Lord. Follow peace with all men. Amen. If it takes 100 trips to the altar till you get peace, amen. Get started right now and get to the altar until the peace of God floods your soul and you can stand and say, I'm a happy person this morning because everything's all right.
Amen.
Praise God. Some men have that capacity to forgive, and for others, it's very difficult. I know for me in the past, it has been difficult in certain situations and circumstances. They asked Abraham Lincoln one time about another politician who had been running him down and criticizing him and lying about him. They asked Abraham Lincoln, what do you think about this man? And he gave him a glowing report of his qualities and attributes and all of that. And they said, well, don't you know what he's saying about you? He said, yes, I know what he's saying about me. Well, why are you saying it like that? He said, you asked me what I thought of him, not what he thought of me. Amen. And so what I think of others and what I think of God is not dependent upon what's going on around me. It's what I've got in my heart today. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not looking at anybody here this morning that's my enemy. And if you come here and there's someone that's your enemy, you're not going to have peace in your heart. Well, praise God. Oh, there may be some that are my enemy and I don't know about it. But you know what? I'd rather not know. I don't want to wake up in the morning and add another one to my list of enemies. Oh, no. I heard that there was someone running for the presidency that had a list of enemies. And if they got that office, they were going to go down the list and work on it and destroy every one of them as their enemies. You know what? That's lust and pride. That's all it is. I'm telling you what, the joy of life is not that Garrett loves me or doesn't love me. It's not that, Nathan and I have got a conflict with each other or we're good buddies. Amen. That's not the joy of life because things come and things go. Amen. I could slip out into eternity this afternoon. Amen. And you'd say, well, we've got to get a new pastor. I'm telling you what, this thing of this world is here today and it's gone tomorrow. Well, praise God. We can have joy in things in this life, but it's got to be tempered with the understanding of eternity. I'm going to meet God. I'm going to stand before God. I want everything to be right between me and God, first and foremost. Amen. God, is everything okay with me and you? Amen. Speak to me. Show me. Help me to know from the Word of God. Help me to line up to the preaching of the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's not just about relationship. It's about pleasing the other individual. And the way we please God is we get into the Word of God and we begin to live out and flesh out the Word of God in our lives. Amen. We are literally, as Christians, we are covered with the garments and the armor of warfare. But Ephesians 6 and 15 says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is the gospel of peace this morning. Amen. And what we've got to have is that focus on God more than anything else in all of this world. Somebody said, praise the Lord. What's the answer? Be born again of the water and of the Spirit. John 3 and 5. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's the answer. Get rid of the past. Come into the future that God has for you. Amen. Pray and seek the will of God. Young person, this morning, seek the will of God for your life. It may seem like you've got all this time and all this energy. Enjoy your youth while you're young. But listen to me, there are so many, many people that were called by God in the Bible. Samuel was just a young boy living in the temple of God when God began to speak to him about the future. Amen. David was just a young boy. He was the youngest one in his family, just a strapping teenager. And God called him to greatness. Praise the Lord. Moses, when he was come to years, he was just a young man. And think about it here this morning. If you could have all the gold, all the wealth, all the authority in the whole world, would you choose that, or would you choose to go and live in the mud huts of the Israelis who were the slaves and make bricks for a living? Moses came to a place where the call of God came upon his life, and he said, and there was no promise of him being the deliverer. There was no promise of any of that, but Moses made a choice, and he said, I am no longer the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm an Israeli. I'm a Jew. I'm a man that is called of God, and I'm going to suffer the shame and the affliction of these poor slaves over here. I'm telling you what, God had an experience of holding a rod out over the water, and the waters were parted. God had an experience of smiting the rock, and the water coming out of that rock. He didn't know it at that time. Amen. He was just making a commitment in his own personal life. I've got to have peace with God. I can't continue to go dressed up like an Egyptian. I can't continue to go around and watch all of these people that are trying to live for God and work for God and stay here on my high horse, so to speak. He felt guilty. He felt condemned about the life that he was living, and he was honest enough to say, God, I've got to get this right down inside here. Because if he had peace, it only came through the gold and the silver and all the pleasures and everything else. But I'm telling you this morning, the only place that he could find peace was knowing that God was in his life. Time and time again, Joseph was called of God when he was just a young boy. Amen. Just a young man, God called him to be the prime minister of the world and be the savior of his people, Israel. But he went through difficulties, and the only way that Joseph could make it to the top was he had to find that peace with God in his heart. Do you have peace in your heart this morning? Do you really have peace down on the inside? If the answer is no, there is an answer here this morning for you. There is an answer for all of us. Amen. Galatians 5 and 15, I want to finish this morning. Would you come, Sister Reed? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15 and through verse 17. Let's stand together while we read the Word of God. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And so there must be a love one for another. But then he goes on and he clarifies this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now who would want to fight against the Spirit of God? But the truth of the matter is, we all have. We've all wrestled against God. You may as well say amen. Amen. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul was literally writing here to the Romans, or to the churches in Galatia. And he said, you're going to have a battle, but there's victory in this battle. And the victory comes when we repent of our sins and we're baptized in Jesus' name. And the victory comes when God fills us with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. And he installs in us the predestined plan. Praise God. The predestined plan. And he begins to order my steps. My steps? Yes, my steps. But I'm a nobody. Join the crowd. Well, I've failed. Join the crowd. I haven't done what I should do. Join the crowd. There's only one who was the chiefest of sinners, and that was the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He said, I'm below the least of all the saints. Now think about that this morning. Here was a man that wrote most of the New Testament, who was the greatest soul winner and preacher in the New Testament church. And he said, I am beneath the least of all the saints. We're not going to measure each other and say you're the least and you're the greatest. But when Paul looked at different churches that he had started, he understood there's the lambs in the flock, there's the ewes, there's the grown-ups, there's the others. He said, I'm below the least of the least. How could he go with such confidence and cast devils out and lay hands on people and they're healed when he said, I've murdered Christians, I've done things that are so reprehensible, I'll never forget what I've done the rest of my life. I'll have the memories. But Paul got beyond the memories of watching someone's head smashed in by a rock as they were stoned to death. Paul could never get away from the memories of the things that he said and holding the robes of those that stoned Stephen, the very first martyr in the Bible, and watched it as his body was crushed. They didn't throw little rocks, they threw big rocks. They broke bones. They crushed them into the ground, and he stood there watching. Yeah. Throw another one. Throw another one. He would even go to the point of getting legal documents so he could break in to the houses of Christians and haul them off to jail. Many of them killed and tortured, murdered in jail simply because of what they believed. And he could then stand in the pulpit of those churches and say, you got to live right. You got to walk holy. You've got to do the right thing. When he's pointing a finger, there's three pointing back. You're guilty, Paul. I know, I'm the least of the least. And I'm only doing this by the grace of God and the mercy of God. I stand here before you this morning, an imperfect person, preaching to imperfect people. And the only reason I'm here this morning, and you better believe this, is the grace of God. I'm not here because of talent or ability. This church does not exist because of anything that I have done. It's here because God's grace put it here. And you know what? You're here because of God's grace this morning. You're here because God loves you so much. I feel that call here this morning. I wish somebody would just start praying right now and just ask the Lord to help. We need the help of the Lord this morning. There's a way to have peace in your heart. There's a way to have the peace of God. Therefore, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God. Romans 5 and 1, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, oh God, I just feel like there's tears coming out of the eyes of our Savior this morning as he's longing for you to make a trip to the altar and say, God, would you please help me? Is everything all right, God? I want to make it right, God. I want to get it right this morning. It's not that many steps to the altar. It's not that many steps to the altar. Oh, God. Come on, church. Come on, we need some prayer warriors.